This is Father Bob Warren of the Franciscan Friars of the Atonement. Thank you for listening to this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour radio show. The Friars' popular Ave Maria Hour was first brought to the radio airwaves in 1939, recorded in New York City and on the Mountainside grounds at Grimmore, a home in Garrison, New York. These timeless classic stories of the Bible and the lives of the saints came to life each week through dramatic reenactment by professional actors and actresses. You know, friends, Christ once said, "Do not hide your treasure under a bushel." In saying this, he meant share your gifts, share your talents. The Friars of the Atonement feel the message in these broadcasts remains as powerful and timely as when they were originally aired, and we are so happy to be able to share them with you today. To learn more about the missions and ministries of the Friars of the Atonement, I invite you to visit our website, www.atonementfriars.org. In the meantime, sit back and enjoy this rebroadcast of the Ave Maria Hour.
Thou art Peter. This will be chapter 1 in our 4-part series on the life of St. Peter the Apostle.
And I can smell the night's catch of fish, and I can see my dear, dear son-in-law Simon lingering on the beach with his brother Andrew.
Why, Andrew? Why? Why don't you answer?
I have no answer.
You're afraid of the answer. You're afraid to admit it's a cruel God we worship.
Here is no learned man, no scholar. A peasant at best, this son-in-law of mine. Rugged and raw-boned, strong as two oxen, and at times just as simple, but no man to be trifled with.
You sound like a wicked man, Simon.
I'm a forthright man. And I feel a sorrow or a gladness I'm honest enough to tell you. When I'm filled with a bitterness, I'll confess to that, too.
Bitterness will not bring your wife back to you.
It's easy for you to talk. You never lost a woman you loved.
You cannot blame anyone for that.
You're wrong, Andrew. I blame the child that caused her to die.
It's a cruel judgment you pass on a child that was never born when you blame it for your wife's death.
Who must I blame? Tell me why God took my wife and destroyed my happiness.
I cannot tell you that, Simon, for I don't know. But I do know this. You'll continue to be miserable as long as you go on living with your mother-in-law, for the very sight of her will never let you forget your wife.
I can think of no better reason for living with her.
If you turn to God for comfort...
You keep forgetting it was God who took my happiness from me.
It was the way he felt, not the way he thought. For my beloved son-in-law is a good man, reared in a God-fearing home. His bitterness reflects on his loneliness and his tortured soul. And whenever he and I sit alone in the shade of our little courtyard, I make a practice never to encourage his grief. Your brother Andrew is right, Simon. I should turn you out of this house for your own good.
Who would support you? I laugh. Glad I amuse you.
So am I.
You think I'm simple. But who catches more fish than half a dozen other men put together?
My son-in-law, Simon. But there's a good reason the fish cannot withstand your charm.
Could be.
Listen to me. I've been thinking a lot about you lately. You cannot live with the dead, and my daughter is dead. But she wouldn't want you to spend the rest of your life in loneliness mourning for her. Take another
one. Hold your tongue, woman. Think I could love another woman after loving her?
You may not love again as much as you did,
Simon!
But your brother Andrew.
We're outside, Andrew.
Simon!
What's the excitement? The Roman soldiers coming to steal more taxes from us?
Messiah's here.
Messiah?
He's here.
Another one?
No. This time it's the real one, Simon.
Oh, every holy man who comes in from the desert claims to be the Messiah.
This one makes no such claim.
Then how do you know who he is?
You can tell. Come and look for yourselves.
He's worth looking at, this man from the desert. Tall and lean, his hair thick and long, like the mane of a lion. He wears a camel skin garment and carries a long stick. There is about him a fanatical zeal that blazes like the wrath of heaven. And the crowd stares at him, some frightened, others convinced he is a madman. But a few are caught by the belief that he is indeed the Messiah talked about by the prophets of old.
Now hear me, and pay no heed to the brood of vipers who would scoff at you for your belief. Turn to Almighty God. Confess. Do you hear me? Confess your sins and be baptized in water. Again and again I tell you, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Amen.
What say you over there? Will you confess and be baptized?
Lord, I will follow you.
Ask him if he is the Messiah.
What say you, woman?
Are you the Messiah?
I am called John, but pay heed to me. He who is coming after me is near and is mightier than I, and I am not fit to undo his sandals.
He is not the Messiah.
You see that, Andrew?
He is a true man of God, and he says the Messiah is near.
Amen. Let's go home.
Simon, tell your brother to eat supper with us.
Why do you think he's here?
Then you'll stay, Andrew.
I thank you, but I can't stay. Nor will I be here for many nights to come. Simon, favor me by asking one of our brothers, James or John, to help you fish, or perhaps our father.
I know what's in your mind, Andrew. In the minds of a lot more fools here. You're ready to let this faker from the desert make a donkey out of you.
I must follow him.
Then get from my sight. Let me enjoy my supper in peace.
To let him go without your blessing.
He was given blessings enough by our father.
You should not be angry, Simon.
Die of thirst in the desert. His hide will be picked clean by some hyena. It'll be no more than he deserves.
You don't mean that, for you dearly love your brother.
True. I'm a man cursed by the love he feels for a dead wife and a brother who's a fool. And for an old woman who plagues him. I love you too.
Days passing now, long weeks. A new season comes and Simon's brother Andrew returns.
I swear to you that what I tell you is the truth.
As you see it.
You will not believe.
I'll believe it, Andrew.
Andrew.
I.
You say you've met others who've known this fellow you say is the Messiah. If that be so, then he's been among us for many years.
He's about 30 years of age. Some call him the Nazarene. But the Baptist knew him at once. And when he baptized him, all of us who were there heard a voice from heaven say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Simon the Christ has come in our time.
I'll go back with you to the Jordan, see for myself.
Where the Jordan River meets the shores of the Sea of Galilee, There the multitude is gathered about the Nazarene. A tall man, tall as Simon. A strong man with a strength that gives beauty to his face. No one is certain how to address him. Some say Rabbi, some call him Master. Others call him Lord. Andrew has already met Christ and kneels before him as he presents Simon.
Lord, this is my brother Simon who has come from the village of Capernaum to see thee.
Simon?
I?
Simon, who do you say I am?
They say you're the Christ.
And I say, I am the Son of Man.
Lord, if that be so, amen. The scriptures of our fathers have been fulfilled.
But in thy heart, you doubt who I am.
Lord, I did not say I doubted. I see thee as a man like myself. How can I see thee as Christ?
Only in thy faith will you ever see. Yet only by thy faith in me will you ever enter the kingdom of heaven.
In the days that follow, Christ disappears into the wilderness for 40 days. In these same days, Andrew and Simon return home and go back to their fishing.
You cannot get him out of your mind, can you?
I'll tell you this much, Andrew. I've done some unaccustomed thinking about this matter.
I know that. So have I.
One thing I'm sure about, to see him as flesh and blood is not to see all of him. I'll tell you something else, Andrew. Such a strange and wondrous feeling to be near him that I have no time for bitterness. I'm a man of peace, Andrew. That's how I know he's more than a man.
Yes, my brother.
But it angers me to think I didn't know at once. Never mind, I'll make up for that. No man shall love him more than I shall. I shall proclaim my love too loudly to be ignored, for all men to hear. Should anyone scoff at me, I'll lay about him with my bare hands or with my sword. And what do you think of that, Andrew?
We'll see.
An early morning, weeks later, Andrew and Simon, after a night of poor fishing, loiter on the beach to mend a net, unaware of the man who stands there smiling at them.
Few more such nights. We'll be going into debt.
We'll make up for it tonight.
Simon.
Hmm?
Look.
Come. Lay aside your nets and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.
Without hesitation, they obey. Andrew and Simon, with James and John. And for many days they journey into the wilderness, through many villages and towns. And Christ performs many miracles before he finally talks to the multitude.
And blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men reproach you and persecute you, and speaking falsely say all manner of evil against you. For my sake, rejoice and exult, because your reward is great in heaven.
And in these days, I fall grievously ill and do not recognize Simon when he comes home, nor do I recognize Christ who stands beside my couch, for death is very close at hand.
Woman, know that thou art cleansed and made whole. Arise, taking up thy couch and whereupon making supper for us, for we have traveled far.
Simon, behold me, for I am well.
That is naught to what we have seen him do. And what he does, I can do also.
What blasphemy is this?
Ask Andrew.
Andrew?
It's true. We've been given power to heal the sick and cast out devils.
Glory be to God.
Amen to that.
In fact, we've come to say goodbye to you, woman. Each one of us is about to journey forth into the wilderness, going our separate ways, carrying into many lands the word of Christ. For he calls us his chosen few. So give us your blessing. We'll be gone.
In the days that follow, my son-in-law visits many places, preaching as best he can, but with more vigor than tact.
You pack of grinning hyenas, skulking in the shadow of your pagan masters, now you pay heed to what I tell you, or be condemned to flaming eternity. Repent, I tell you. Repent your sins. For the kingdom of heaven is very close at hand.
A wild man from the desert, crazed by the sun.
What say you, fellow? A madman, you think? Step closer and I'll take pleasure in breaking your skull.
Violent talk from a man who professes to be a disciple of the Prince of Peace.
And I carry a flaming sword for such as you. If you anger me further, I'll split you in two.
In time to come, Simon and the others return to Galilee to rejoin Christ. And Christ takes my son-in-law to one side.
And did you convert the peoples wherever you went?
Not as many as I could have wished, Lord. I found many stubborn and stiff-necked. Besides, I have not thy authority, Lord, nor thy gentleness and patience. I'll do better next time.
And from thy travels, tell me this. Whom do men say I am?
Some say thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elias. Others say you're Jeremias.
And Simon, whom do you say I am?
Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God.
Blessed art thou, Simon, because flesh and blood have not revealed this to thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church.
Christ uses the Aramaic term for rock, which translated into our tongue becomes Peter. And from now on, my son-in-law is known as Simon, called Peter.
Be some time before I see you again.
Another journey.
This time with him, to Jerusalem.
But is it wise for him to go to Jerusalem? The feeling against him is greater there than anywhere.
Woman, he's mightier than 1,000 armies. He'll smite his enemies if they raise a hand against him.
Peter.
Lord, I did not see thee.
Have you forgotten that I have come to fulfill the words of the prophets, that I must suffer for the sins of the world and die for them, even though I rise again?
And it seems to me that Christ is intent on teaching my son-in-law to be a teacher and in building Simon's faith. And in the days before they all leave Galilee for Jerusalem, my son-in-law Simon, now called Peter, goes with Christ and two others into the mountains, and here a miracle of beauty occurs.
Lord, what is happening to thee?
And before them, Christ is transfigured into supernatural beauty, his face shining with the brilliance of the sun, and his garments becoming white as driven snow. And they hear a voice from heaven.
This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him.
Lord, I once sinned grievously against thee. Did not confess all I should have confessed.
What troubles thee, Peter?
I was bitter against God for taking my wife from me in childbirth.
And thy bitterness prevails?
No, Lord. For I know my wife is with God. And I repent my anger.
I will teach thee many things, that in turn thou must teach all other men, Peter. That you can harbor no sinful thought without my Father in heaven knowing of it. But I say unto you, confess thy sins, and eat of my flesh, and drink of my blood.
Lord, how can I eat of thy flesh, and drink of thy blood?
These things I will explain to thee before I leave thee.
Sometimes I think it's Simon Peter's simple, childish faith that endears him to Christ. For my son-in-law accepts without question the word of our Lord. For to doubt anything Christ says to him would be to doubt the supernatural power of God. The day comes when they set out for Jerusalem, and for many nights they make camp in the wilderness.
Jackal howls a warning, Andrew.
A warning of what?
You know without asking.
I dread the moment we enter Jerusalem. For I have the feeling our Lord is walking into the hands of his enemies. And he will not stand against them.
Then I will, Andrew. If they come for him, they'll take him only over my dead carcass. Only when the last drop of my life's blood is drained from me. I give thee my word on this, my pledge.
We'd better sleep. There'll be little chance to sleep when we enter Jerusalem.
Multitudes line the streets as our Lord enters Jerusalem. Some jeering at him, others marveling. But a place of lodging is secured, and Christ and his disciples sit down to celebrate the feast of the Passover, and they listen to him.
I have greatly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you that I will eat it no more until it has been fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Take it and share it among you, and behold this my piece of bread, which I break and will pass among you. This is my body, which is being given to you. And the cup of wine is the new covenant in my blood, which shall be shed for you. But behold, the hand of him who will betray me is with me at this table.
Lord, what sayest thou? Who at this table would betray thee?
Simon Peter, Satan would tempt you to doubt my word again. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith may not fail.
Lord, with thee I am ready to go to prison and to death.
I tell thee, Peter, a cock will not crow this day until you have denied me 3 times.
Lord, what sayest thou?
In the days that follow, the enemies of Christ have their way, and one of the 12, called Judas, betrays Christ into the hands of those who plot his death. And there is much excitement in the city, and crowds gather in all public places.
Andrew, they've taken him.
Not over my dead carcass, nor over yours.
We could not prevail against this crowd.
You swore to die for him.
Andrew, it was not his wish that we die.
Careful, they're watching us.
Behold, one of them!
It's you, she points at.
This man too was with him!
Woman, I do not know him.
Here is one of them! Surely this man too was with him, for he is a Galilean!
Man, I am not!
I know this man's face! He is one of them!
Man,
I do not know what thou sayest.
I tell thee, Peter, a cock will not crow this morning until you have denied me 3 times.
Lord. Lord, what have I done to thee? What have I done?
And my son-in-law, Simon Peter, is the weakling that Christ knows him to be. And yet Christ said he would build his church on Simon Peter's strength. It did not happen so long ago, and much happened after this. For this is just the beginning of my son-in-law's story.